Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, delivered on Sunday, March 15th, 2026, is by Jeannie Alexander on the topic of Nothing Holy is Tame.
Beauty and the capacity to seek it, to know it, to breathe it in, has never been more important than it is today. And by that, I mean the capacity to be struck dumb by the beauty of the absolutely ordinary, and to be rooted in the sacredness of each day and each night. These days, my own hope lies not in government or institutions, in the academy, or even the church. As Rumi might tell us, we're beyond all that now. Instead, my hope lies in our innate capacity to experience what Father Pedro Arrupe called a mysticism of open eyes to see more, not less. See the burning in all of creation and engage while fully saturated with life. And this sort of mysticism is a call to be utterly present in this moment, whether that moment is right now or when you are washing dishes, when you're walking the dog, being utterly present in the moment. And it's in this ordinary mysticism where we find extraordinary love. And where we find extraordinary love, we find courage. And it is in this capacity to seek and know the mysticism of beauty in the ordinary where we find hope. And beyond hope, we can thrive. I'll tell you, when the center doesn't hold, make for the edges. When what has always been reliable begins to crumble, begins to collapse, reach for the extraordinary that was already present in your everyday life. What happens next will not be predictable. The predictable was always an illusion anyway. As the prophet Octavia Butler told us, God is change. So let it change. The old institutional responses won't make sense in this new world, and we've got to go deeper. So why am I talking about this? Like, why does it matter? It matters because if we allow it, authoritarianism may well grind us into a shade of our God-centered self, our God-created self. And authoritarianism shows us the world through a glass darkly, a world that's broken, that's distorted, that alienates. Now, the triumph of totalitarian will is dependent upon the crushing of hope and the seeding of bitterness and fear. The successful implementation of a totalitarian state is contingent upon, among other things, convincing the population that, well, we just can't tell what's real anymore. Who knows? Don't let such things take root in your soil. Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and Buddhism all bring us a common message to reject fear, to fear not. And yet it's impossible to not experience fear. Indeed, it's not only impossible, it would be foolish and even deadly if we were to proceed right now as if nothing were amidst in our world. That's called avoidance. It's called self-delusion. God's call to fear not isn't that. Instead, it's an invitation to acknowledge all the good reasons to fear and to step forward deeply into life anyway. It is an invitation to have the courage to build community, to show compassion, and to live fully into your existence right in this moment, even when our way of life just might collapse. And to choose love, This is not a tame love. Nothing holy is tame. See, it slips in there every time. This love calls us to resistance. And it's a resistance that helps us move past our fears. This is a resistance that we do together out of love in community, not in isolation. So what do I mean by resistance? Well, it looks like South Burlington earlier this week. It looks like showing up very concretely for our neighbors, especially when that looks scary. It looks like inconvenience sometimes. It looks like standing out in the cold. It looks like standing on the side of a family when faced with guns and your knees are shaking, but you're holding your neighbor's hand when you're doing it. It might look like rejecting the false narrative of the current federal government trying to tell a whole country that trans people don't exist and have no human rights. I mean, resistance in that case looks like speaking up when you hear the lie repeated and saying, of course trans people exist. They are my neighbor too. And we are called to stand on the side of love. Never forget that compliance with what is cruel and absurd depends upon repeating a lie over and over. And when we're told to fear and reject and revile our neighbor, we must remember that we cannot love God without loving our neighbor. As Pope Leo recently reminded us, the two are inseparable. Remember last October when President Trump, and I know a lot of you might not like the word president, I hear grumbles when I say that, that is the reality. And Secretary of War, because it damn sure is a Secretary of War at this point, Pete Hegseth, called 800 generals to Virginia to tell them that the rules of engagement no longer exist and American cities should now be battle training grounds. Minneapolis, where I've been recently, has certainly felt that. It's the unabashed madness and the absurdity of the country that we find ourselves living in. It can also easily pull us into a state of anxiety, distraction, fear. I scroll too much. It's true. Probably at the worst time of day, at the end of the day, when I should be grounding and centering, I am reading the news. But don't feed that fear. It's dependent upon a diet of cynicism, right? The allure to just give up. Don't feed it. And I'm sure many of you read in the Times this past week, again, when Hegseth declared, moral purpose in war is a weakness. And the only goal is to unleash death and destruction from the sky all day long. Death and destruction upon the heads of children. This is evil, friends. Evil is the opposite of sacred. There's a spirit to what's happening here. And it calls us to rain death and destruction down on the next identified target. God would send us rain, and yet our leaders want to rain fire. But we can't accept that once we see that the immediate presence of God is here, right now in this room, in the mountains, in the rivers. So stepping back from the specter of war, let me go back to where I begin, with Father Pedro Arrupe. Every day I look to the sky, and it's glorious. I know where the sacred resides. The abbey and the farm where I live were built upon earth that shimmers. Literally, the first time we ever stepped on that land, it shimmered. And when we moved here, the crows and the ravens had all but abandoned the land. They'd been chased away by birdshot and arrows from young boys. Trust takes time to build, and it can only move at the pace of wound healing. But the calls of ravens and crows, they echo clearly now. They've been remembered to the community of the land. And they work in concert with the life of the farm. Guinea hens, I don't know if you've ever had guineas, they're mad. They're crazy birds. They alert us to hawks. Hawks that we see, the ravens and the crows join the concert. And this is a communion when I'm given the gift to witness it that leaves me speechless. It delivers me to full participation in the dance of creation and life. Now, I know that hawk is going to take a chicken eventually. It has before. Feeding the hawk is feeding the land. But there is no power and control in this symmetry of life and death. It's undistorted creation, and it is glorious. And this, that awareness, that presence, is what I won't allow to be taken from me through bitterness and fear. We cannot become blind to the beauty immediately beside us. It's a way worth following, and it is a way through fear. I want to wrap up with a quote from Brother David Stindl Rast, who is 99 now and was a monk in Elmira, New York, not too far from here. What is most urgently needed in American spirituality today is an ecological awakening. That would be the most appropriate religious gesture for today. It would require all the virtues that religion implies: faith, hope, love, sacrifice, and it's urgent. Unless this spiritual awakening takes place, we're lost. The core of every religious tradition is the mystical tradition. And mysticism is the experience of limitless belonging. That means limitless belonging to God, if you want to use that term. But it also to all humans, to all animals, to the plants. That's at the core of the mystical tradition. And since the mystical tradition is at the core of religion, that sense of belonging is both ecological and religion. With an embracing of limitless belonging, there can be no carpet bombings. There can be no detention centers. We can only do small things, but with great love. And that matters.